is redemption.
Coming to you live from Section 5, Row 23, this is the Forever Faithful Podcast. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, 49er Faithful, wherever you are. This is the Forever Faithful Podcast, Episode 7. I'm JD, joined, as always, by 49er Tone and JP. Man, guys, we got another, packed episode for you guys this week. A lot to get into. It's the dog days of the off season. Training camp is right around the corner. You would think there's not too much to talk about, but man, you couldn't be more wrong, because there is a lot of 49er news that has gone down this week. A lot to get into. So let's just hop right on into it. Let's get into this right here, right now, on first down, with the latest and greatest from the San Francisco 49ers, who recently held their second annual State of the Franchise event down in San Jose, where they got into a bunch of different topics. They discussed kind of where the team was last year, where the team is heading as we get into this season. They talked about future events, such as future Super Bowls being held at Levi's Stadium. They talked about different perks for season ticket holders. It was a big fan-friendly event where they brought in various 49er fans, season ticket holders, alumni players, members of the staff, what have you. And it was a big deal. Seemed to be a big success with the fans. They also debuted new 49er alternate throwback jerseys, which we will get into here in a little bit. But the event overall was just kind of a get-together with the fans and the team, kind of a feel-good atmosphere, kind of a getting everybody hyped up for the season coming up, with training camp right around the corner. And our very own 49er Tone was in the building for the event. So with that, I'm going to throw it to Tone. And Tone, man, I want to know, what was it like for you down at that event? What did you see? What did you hear? How did you take it all in? What was the reaction from the fans like? Just kind of give us the rundown of your thoughts on the event.
Hey, what's going on, brother? Yeah, man, being there live and direct at the State of the Franchise, it was a fun experience, a fun time, man. I got off work a little early so I can get back home. And the event's not too far from my house, about maybe like an 8 to 10 minute drive. And so I get there, and man, I'm telling you, the whole block wrapped around the line just to get in. You had Jerry Rice, the GOAT, walking, taking pictures with fans. I just missed him. He was walking by to get in the theater. So you knew the GOAT was going to be in the building. But everybody was into it. Everybody was live. Loud clapping. They had the Niner noise playing the drums while we were waiting in line. And then when we got in, they were giving out beverages, for free. They were giving out chips, popcorn for free. They had the Gold Rush cheerleaders taking pictures with fans. And then basically you just went in and just grabbed a seat. First come, first serve. I know they had the season ticket holders on the very first deck. I was on the second, and I elected to get into the last row on that second end, and got a clear view of everything. But yeah, man, they just talked about the whole State of the Franchise. That's the name of the event. They had Al Guido come out early on talking about changes to Levi's Stadium. Plans for Super Bowls. They talked about the National College Football Game. You know, they had the levee, believe it's called levee. They're changing the concessions there. So they had the CEO of levee there talking about the new food options at Levi's Stadium. So, I mean, it was a cool event to start out with, just knowing what we expect, you know, going to the games at Levi's. And then, you know, after all of that, they went ahead and got into Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch, you know, the coaches, and then the players and whatnot. And I'll tell you what, John Lynch by far got the biggest applause in that building. I mean, it was like a 49ers scored a touchdown when they showed John Lynch on the big screen and they announced his name that he came out. Kyle Shanahan too, but I mean, Lynch really got the applause. So you could tell he's already becoming beloved amongst the 49er faithful. So that was actually really cool. And it was nice to hear them see, you know, speak together. You can kind of see the chemistry there. You know, you got, they're talking and joking around, and, you know, you have the other coaches there. And then they got onto the players, and the one that really surprised me was Richard Sherman. When they announced Richard Sherman, I started clapping, but it was really, I mean, everybody was literally got on their feet when they mentioned Richard Sherman. So you can see that, you know, time heals all wounds. He's our guy now. He's on our side now. And, I mean, damn, doesn't Richard Sherman look good in that red and gold? So that was cool, man. So it was a good event. Had a great experience. Seen some people, you know, that you know, I tailgate with, and definitely some people that are actually check out the podcast. That was actually really cool. Guys I haven't met, and I got to meet that they check out this podcast. So if you guys are listening, man, nice meeting you guys. Yeah, man, it was a fun event. The only thing I would say, you guys probably had a better chance to listen to everything they said. And they had the speakers there. You can hear it, but everybody was so into it. It felt like the experience felt like it was a very light game type atmosphere. You know, people were yelling, people were clapping, you know, cheering. You know, so you couldn't hear every single thing, especially if they show something on the video board. I know when they were talking, I don't know if you guys would see, but they would show stuff on the big screen behind the stage. I don't know if they showed that on the stream or not, but you know, every time they showed something, everybody was getting into it, clapping. It would show old highlights of the past 49ers, and then of course they would show you know, the current, you know, from last season. But it was fun, man. It was a fun experience. It was only $5 for the 49ers foundation, you know, the donation, you know. It was a cool thing to get us ready for the season, so it hyped me up. And then, of course, the grand finale of the 94 Ultimate Jersey. So that really set the place on fire with that, man. That was basically what everybody was waiting for. We were all expecting, and everybody went crazy. Everybody, especially when you seen Jerry Rice come out, everybody went crazy. So it was a fun time, man. I had a great experience there, man. And if the 49ers continue doing stuff like this, you know, in the dog days of summer, you know, there's no football news, still get people excited for football, you know, that this was a great event, man. So I had a great time, guys, and it was, like I said earlier, it was awesome to see people you know, that listen to the podcast and recognizing me, and you know, if you guys were there, would have recognized you guys. And you know, it's felt like a big family, man. And I'm just happy that we're reaching out to the faithful with this podcast. So
real quick before we get to JP's thoughts on what he saw at the State of the Franchise event, Tone, it was clear to me listening to it at home, but I heard boos in the venue when they introduced Richard Sherman. Did you hear any boos?
Not where I was sitting. No, not where I was sitting. The second and third deck people were standing up for Richard Sherman. Now, maybe
some boos, man. I heard some boos. There was a ton of cheers for sure, but I definitely heard some boos come across my speakers.
So with that, it might have been down low on the first level. Maybe that's where the microphone picked up the sounds a little clearer than where I was at. But where I was at in my section, people were getting up, people were clapping. I didn't hear any boos from where I was sitting.
All right. Well, thank you, Tone, for the insight into the state of the franchise event. We wish we all could have made it, but we weren't able to. But we still were represented in the building, so I'm glad you were able to make it, brother, and I'm glad you had a good time and everything. JP, man, what stood out to you at the State of the Franchise event?
What's up, fellas? The State of the Franchise was awesome. It was kind of cool, like Tone was saying, that a couple of guys noticed them from listening to our podcast. So if y'all listening, what's up? Thanks for listening. Thanks for being supporters. But no, it was awesome, man. I thought it was great. I thought this was a great event that they have, that the Niner fans can get like a one-on-one feel, like, you know what I mean? And the fact that, you know, like Tone was saying, that John Lynch was, you know, had the biggest ovation, just proves how smart this fan base really is, you know what I mean? They know what he's done. They know what he's continuing to do. So it's really cool to see. Obviously the big highlight was the jersey reveals, which was really, really cool seeing the GOAT come out, Jerry Rice. He was hyped. But another thing I like, they brought out, some of the players, current players, and they were, you know, just talking, asking them questions here and there, and you can just see the chemistry. They were fun. They were having fun. They were, you know, joking around. And I thought that was cool. I thought that, you know, I can't talk this morning, but you know, it just shows how the chemistry of this team is coming together. You know, Robbie Gould, I think, mentioned there that this is one of the best locker rooms he's been in his whole career, and he's been around a while. So that speaks volumes to what John Lynch and Shanahan has brought together here in San Francisco. So I'm just excited to see. They also had the rookies out. The rookies were a little bit more timid compared to, you know, Joe Staley and the crew. DeForest Buckner, was out with the current Niners, and they were he was having a blast. I haven't really seen too much from Buckner, but it was kind of cool to see him with a little bit more personality, which was funny. But the rookies were, you know, a little bit more reserved, as expected. Last year, I remember Foster, he was a life of the party in the State of the Franchise when the players came out, which was kind of funny, which we'll be talking about Foster a little bit later, so stay tuned. But overall, I loved it. I thought it was great. I thought, they touched on a lot of stuff, it just gets you even more excited for the upcoming season, man. I'm pumped. JD, what are your thoughts? What's the biggest takeaway you took away from the State of the Franchise?
The things that stood out to me from watching the event here at home was when Al Guido was out there and he was giving, giving some insight into the improvements that the team was making around Levi's Stadium. He gave a lot of details, a lot of information about the, you know, stuff that goes on kind of behind the scenes. And the couple things that stood out to me that Al Guido was talking about, first was bringing back the Brick by Brick documentary for this season. They started it last year. It's sort of the 49ers version of the HBO series Hard Knocks, where they follow the team around during, you know, training camp and practices and whatnot, and they kind of give you an inside look into what it's like, you know, at the team's training facility as they get prepared for the upcoming season. And I really enjoyed Brick by Brick last year. And they're going to be bringing it back this season for a second year around. And this time they said they're actually going to do even more episodes. So with this team, you know, trending up the way that it is and improving the roster the way that it has and having Jimmy Garoppolo, of course, in the fold, I think Brick by Brick this year is going to be, you know, must-see TV if you're a 49er fan. I can't wait for it. The other thing that stood out to me that Al Guido was talking about was some of the game day giveaways that the team's going to be doing this year. They do it every year, every game. They give out a prize or an item to fans as they enter the stadium, and they've been doing that for years since the Candlestick days. And this year, they're going to be doing it again. And one item that he referred to, which I think is going to be a huge hit because it seems to be a huge hit no matter what sports venue you're at, they're going to be doing a bobblehead giveaway this year. And if you pay attention to sports, if you pay even, baseball in particular, when they do bobblehead giveaways, the fan attendance is way up. The line for people getting into the stadium early is way up because they want to make sure that they get their item. And this year they're going to be doing a bobblehead giveaway. Fans tried to kind of poke and prod at Al Guido, asking him who was going to be the bobblehead. And he kind of, tiptoed around it. But you got the sense of who the bobblehead's going to be. And I think we all know that it's going to be a Jimmy Garoppolo bobblehead. So that's what really stood out to me from the event, was just those couple of items there from Al Guido. And then, of course, what we all want to get into, what everybody went to that State of the Franchise event to see, was the 49ers' new alternate throwback 1994 jerseys, man. The white with the red numbers and the black shadowing. Before I give you guys my thoughts on those, Tone, you were there. What was it like when the players came out in those jerseys? What did you think of them? And just, talk about that experience of seeing those jerseys get unveiled at the State of the Franchise event.
Oh, I absolutely loved them. And the entire crowd did as well. I mean, that's all we were there really to see when they announced that they were going to unveil these jerseys at the State of the Franchise. Just made it that much more exciting. And that was the main event. And before the stream even started, The guy, I forget his name, but he got on the microphone before the stream started and was like, "Hey, I know you guys are all here for the new jerseys, but that is the main event." So, you had to sit there and wait through it, but the anticipation of it, even though we had an idea what jerseys they will be, but when they came out and you actually got to see it for your own eyes, that was absolutely an incredible moment, because those jerseys were so beautiful, man. They're just awesome, awesome choice. The 49ers did right with this, man. They should have done this years ago, but the 49ers did right now with these jerseys. Everything looked good, looked just like the 94s. Just kind of looked a little weird without the patch, because you're so used to the 75th year patch, but absolutely gorgeous. The only thing with that is you look at the jersey and you see the three red stripes, and I'm just thinking in my head, they did it right, but why doesn't our current have those three red stripes? But, it's all good. Love the throwbacks, man. And they even got the old SF on the helmet, the classic SF. So they're full-blown throwbacks. And, man, I just couldn't be more excited about them. And I really hope we wear them more than twice a year. The 49ers are known for wearing, red at home, except for the preseasons back in the day. But I believe there was a few times we wore white in the mid-70s, if you see like old footage, like NFL classics and stuff. So if we can switch it up, maybe wear them at home as well, that, kind of change it up, I think that would be really exciting for Levi's Stadium. And maybe even do it on the bobblehead day too, like you were saying, because that's going to get more fans excited. I absolutely love it. I will wear the whites at home as much as I can for this season. Get everybody excited for the jerseys.
JP, man, what did you think about seeing these new jerseys?
Dude, those jerseys are so clean, man. I love them. I was kind of hoping for the reds, the red with the white pants. But hey, I'm cool with them. They look so sick. I mean, when the players came out, Everyone was rocking them. Oh man, they looked amazing. And you know, one thing that I thought leading up to this, you know, I think everyone pretty much knew it was going to be the 94 throwbacks. But, you know, I was thinking, like, that 1994 Super Bowl team, you know, going into the 94 season, that team kind of had like a swagger to them. You know what I mean? You had Deion Sanders. You had, you just had that swagger to the team. And you know, I don't want to compare, you know, this upcoming season, you know, this team, but they kind of do. They kind of got like a quiet swagger to them. You know what I mean? So I think it's only fitting to bring back the 94 jerseys. You know what I'm saying? So I love them. Everybody looks so clean. Jerry Rice coming out. I mean, Tone, you were there. It was he was hyped. He was, you know, hopping all around. You know, he did an interview and he boasted a little bit. He was talking about, you know, all of his receiving yards and his touchdowns and whatnot, his three Super Bowl rings. And it was awesome. It was awesome. But I'm excited. I'm excited to see where they wear them, where they're going to. I think the game that it should be a primetime game. You know, the Monday night versus the Giants. I think, you know, it's only fitting. You have to wear them Sunday night football versus the Rams. That will be so epic. You know, it's going to be a hell of a game. You know, it's going to be a shootout. Two offensive geniuses. You know, Niners wearing the throwback 94 jerseys. Oh, man. I can see it already. I'm so pumped. But yeah, I love the jerseys. JD, what are your thoughts, man?
You know, I'll be honest with you. When they first came out and they were the white jerseys, I was disappointed for about 3 seconds because I wanted the red ones badly. I think, you know, I prefer the look of the red 1994 jerseys with the white pants. I just thought it was a clean look. You know, I thought it was, you know, it was a look that represented our last Super Bowl victory because we wore those jerseys in the Super Bowl when we beat the San Diego Chargers. I was expecting the red jerseys, especially because if they're going to do a big jersey unveiling like that, you know they're going to be wearing them at home. And the Niners always wear red at home. I mean, it's an NFL kind of staple where the colored jerseys are the home jerseys and the white jerseys are the away ones. And so when they came out with the white ones, I'm thinking, that's going to be kind of weird seeing that at Levi Stadium. You know, I expected the red jerseys and I kind of got my hopes up a little bit. That's what I kind of predicted. I thought they would be the red ones. And so when they came out with the whites, I was a little bit disappointed just briefly. And then I'm looking at them and I'm like, man, those are dope. Like, I don't care if they're red. I don't care. You know, they're sick and they look good. I can't wait to see the team wear them. I can't wait to get my hands on a couple of them. I know I'm getting a few. So, you know, overall, I'm pleased with them. I wanted the red ones, but we got the white ones, and I think they're pretty clean. As far as what games we should wear the jerseys in, the first game that stood out to me, and again, you know, it kind of goes back to the red 1994s, I want to see us wear them against the Chargers because that was the last time we wore them, and we whooped their ass in the Super Bowl. So, you know, I wanted to see us wear those 94s against the Chargers, but obviously, you know, they're going to wear them at home and we're playing the Chargers down in LA. So I don't see that happening. And of course you want to make a big statement. So if they, you know, I heard that they could wear them twice this year. That was a rumor that they're going to be wearing them twice. And they're going to be wearing those, you know, instead of the black jerseys, which they've gotten rid of. And we kind of got into that last week, but, you know, I think they're going to probably end up wearing them for, I would say, probably the Rams game and potentially, when, you know, I was going to say the Raider game, but, you know, I think, like you said, JP, the Giants game and the Rams game, I think, are probably the two biggest candidates for us to wear those jerseys. But I would love to see us wear them against the Raiders. Hell, I don't, you know what, wear them every week. I love the 94s, man. So those are my thoughts on the 94 jerseys. I'm glad we finally did it, that it was a long time coming, and can't wait to see them this year. Can't wait to buy a few and you know, give the Niners all the money in my wallet. So
definitely. You know what, JD, when you were talking about the red jerseys, and I'm with you on that, I think, you know, we won't have to wait too much longer for the red ones. I believe, when is the anniversary? Is it next year, the 100 years? Is it next year?
Next year is 100 year. Yep.
Okay, so they get all the sales from the jersey this year, and then next year maybe the NFL implements something where we can have more than one throwback or something, you know, just to celebrate the 100 years. But I do expect to see the red ones very soon. I just think they just want to maximize all the revenue from this jersey, and then they can switch to the red. Because if they switch to the red, that's what everybody wants. At least we got the throwback now, and then we'll wait for the reds, and so we'll buy both of them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the NFL and the Niners are no dummies. They know, you know, what they want, and they know that they're going to make money. So the fan reaction has been really strong, and I've seen a lot of Niner fans on Twitter tweeting Jed York saying, "Hey, where are the red ones at? Where are the red ones at?" So they're smart businessmen. They're listening to the fans, and I wouldn't be surprised for sure if they brought back the red jerseys. And JP, you mentioned that they look kind of strange without the 75th anniversary patch. Well, next year they're going to have the 100th anniversary patch on jerseys. So I think either you can hold off and get your 94 throwback next year with the patch on them, or you'll be able to buy a patch. You know, they sell them on eBay. You can get the patch and you can sew it on yourself. So I think that'll kind of complete the look and make it look a little bit more reminiscent of the original. So with that, I think overall here on the Forever Faithful podcast, the three of us were really pleased with the state of the franchise event. We're really pleased with where the franchise is going. And of course, we all want to get our hands on those new jerseys. So with that, I think we're going to move on to second down. All right, guys, second down here on the FFP, and it wouldn't be a podcast with the three of us if we didn't talk about the man, the myth, the legend known as Reuben Foster. But this time, it's really good news. It's a celebration here on the Forever Faithful podcast, because this past Wednesday, May the 23rd, 2018, Reuben Foster's domestic violence charges in Santa Clara were officially dropped. The San Francisco 49ers trusted due process. The San Francisco 49ers believed in the principle of innocent until proven guilty, and it paid off, because Reuben Foster's domestic violence charges were officially dropped. He is free and clear of all that drama, all these months and of headaches and speculation and rumors and just negative attention. It's all gone now. Reuben is basically a free man when it comes to the domestic violence charges. And I couldn't be happier. I know JP and Tone, I know you guys are hyped. We were texting throughout the day. I was driving home from work, and I think Tone, you sent out a text to both of us saying the charges were dropped. The charges were dropped, and I almost like swerved off the freeway driving home. I was hyped, you know. So we called it. We knew that the charges were going to be dropped. We talked about this over a month ago, saying that at the end of the day, there's nothing going to come from this. Reuben's going to be a free man, and I think we all kind of saw, you know, the writing on the wall. But just to see it officially come down that those charges were dropped, man, it made my day. And now we can finally, you know, really start trying to focus on football and having Reuben on the field. But JP, man, what did you think when you heard that the domestic violence charges were dropped against Reuben?
Well, exactly what you just said, JD. I mean, we can finally get back to football. I mean, this has been going on for, you know, God knows how long, months on months, and you know, finally it's over. Reuben can go back with his teammates and get ready for training camp, man, you know? So it's just a relief, you know what I mean? We're finally back to football. And you know what? All, just to touch on it a little bit more, all the charges were dropped. He has one missed the gun charges, which I'm not sure if we touched on last. I'm pretty sure we have. But the gun charges that he had, basically, his guns were registered in Alabama, where he went to college. I believe that's where he resides in the off season. He brought those guns to California, which I guess he did not register here. I'm not exactly sure on the gun laws or whatnot. I know it's a hot topic now in the world, but that went down to a misdemeanor. But he's going to be fighting that. He has another court date on June 6th, I believe, where they're going to go up against the same judge. And hopefully those get dropped too. And also, I think it was earlier this year, he had a marijuana charge in Alabama, which those charges were dropped. So Ruben's a clean man. He's free. Everything is going his way. And I'm just excited that we can finally get back to football. I'm excited that Ruben can get back with his teammates. You know, his teammates were supporting him the whole time. I mean, when it came out that the charges were dropped, I mean, a bunch of teammates sent out, you know, tweets saying, you know, finally, he's a free man, you know, just supporting him. I think Colbert was there. Tart was there to support him at the courthouse. So it's good. It's good to see this chemistry again with this Niner team, man. They're a family. They're together. And this locker room is strong. And to have Ruben back into the locker room, it's great with his character, with his persona. I mean, it's great. It's you know, we're finally back to football. And I'm excited. Tone, what are your thoughts about this, man?
Yeah, man, Ruben Foster finally cleared. You know, this was definitely a stressful topic for 49er fans. Whatever side of the fence you were on, you had your worries coming up, not only for this season, but for the rest of his career, and what will the 49er franchise do? I'm just happy, man. I really am happy he's back. You know, that his teammates are there to support him, like you said, JP. That's something that Richard Sherman kind of brought when he first signed with the 49ers, and he was in court, didn't know Ruben Foster at all, but he was there to support. And now you see these guys coming together like a family. You know, something is special is brewing in San Francisco right now, especially on this defensive side of the ball. And it makes me excited. So you have a veteran presence, absolute leader in Richard Sherman, and then now you get the young leader who led that defense last year in Ruben Foster, and you kind of got Sherman to take him under his wing, just like the rest of the defensive players. I'm just excited, man. So, you know, who knows what's going to happen with Goodell, but we'll get with that in a little bit later. But as far as Ruben Foster, I'm very happy. You know, welcome back. You know, just gotta have the right people around you. You know, you live and you learn, but it's good to have him back, man.
You know, the big thing that I took from Ruben's charges getting dropped, of course, we all kind of predicted that was going to happen. I've been saying for months that Ruben was innocent. But the big thing that stood out to me was the media, the people that were out there slandering Ruben Foster, and you know, all these charges get dropped, and yet you still see people trying to kind of push their agenda. You see Ann Killian putting out a half-hearted apology to Ruben, and half-hearted is probably being generous. When I talk about her apology, and of course you have the Santa Clara District Attorney coming out and saying that we're not gonna press any charges against Alicia Ennis because she falsely recanted her claim, and that's really common with domestic violence victims and whatnot. It seems like everyone just wanted Ruben Foster to be guilty. Everyone had their witch hunt. Everyone wanted to burn Ruben at the cross. And now that the truth has come out and Ruben's going to be a free man, those people don't know how to deal with it, and they still want to push their agenda. So I'm just glad to see that Ruben's going to be back on the field. I'm glad to see the people that, wanted Ruben gone have egg on their face. And I'm just glad that we're going to be able to get back to football and put this this blemish of an offseason kind of behind us. So unless you guys have any other thoughts, man, I think we can kind of wrap up the Ruben Foster talk. And when we talk about Ruben again, it's going to be a football talk. So you guys have anything else you want to add before we move on?
Yeah, just real quick. There's something that I failed to mention, but you brought up, the DA going ahead and not filing charges against this young lady. And I want to say that's complete BS. Okay, you had someone to could have ruined this man's, is about to ruin this man's whole life, and she gets away scot-free for that. I really hope Ruben Foster, the best thing for him is probably just put this behind him. But one thing I would do personally is he's innocent. He's innocent. I would go after civil suit. Whatever you can do, because that's absolutely wrong. You know, everybody was trying to burn him at the stake and he's innocent. And yet she's going to just walk around free and do this to a third guy soon. Like, come on, man, that's complete BS. But that's all I got to say, man, that it's a two way street and it needs to go both ways. You can't sit there and want to give charges to someone and they turn out innocent, and the accuser who could have ruined his entire life stole from him, literally stole from this guy. Like, she testified, she's a thief, and you're not gonna press any charges on her? So all the money that she took, the jewelry that she took, you're not gonna press any charges at all? You get away scot-free? What kind of world do we live in? But yeah, that's how I feel. It's complete BS, and the district attorney's office, they look like a complete joke. So that's all I gotta say about that, man. Free Ruben.
Tone, I totally agree with you. Free Ruben, everything, because that it's an absolute joke. I agree. She's done this before. They know she's done this before. And the fact that she's done it a second time, and they're like, oh, no, it's cool. You know, it just doesn't. I just can't fathom it in my head how they can just have this lady walk free after she said she's stolen Rolex's watches. She's stolen money after he went to jail. It's just I mean, there's evidence there. She said she stole it, and then there is no evidence with Ruben, but he gets locked up. I just don't understand it. I can't understand it. But I think JD, it's time to move on before our heads explode.
I agree. So with that, we're wrapping it up. But you know, JP, I got to hear the Ruben siren, the Ruben Foster police siren, one more time, just for old time's sake, just to kind of put an end to all this. So let's listen to the Ruben Foster siren one more time as we move on to third down.
One more.
Third down. Now, all of us in here on the Forever Faithful podcast are big-time football fans. All of you listening to this podcast are big-time football fans, and I'm sure a lot of you are fans of video games. And the biggest football video game that there is the NFL Madden series, and I've been playing Madden for going on, 20, 25 years. And this year's Madden, Madden NFL 19, will feature a former 49er on the cover, and that would be one Terrell Owens, Terrell El Dorado Owens, who turns out to be my favorite 49er of all time. So seeing him on the cover, I'm hyped. I like seeing T.O. on the cover. I feel like he's getting some recognition that he deserves going into the Hall of Fame this year. And, of course, he's going to be on the cover of the Hall of Fame edition of the game, which comes out August the 7th. The official release date of the game, which will have a separate cover athlete, actually comes out on my birthday this year on August 10th. But I'm not waiting until then. I'm going to be getting the Hall of Fame edition with T.O. on the cover. But the one thing that stood out to me, other than T.O. being on the cover, is the jersey he was wearing on the cover of this year's game. And if you haven't seen it, go jump on social media, go check it out. T.O.'s wearing a Dallas Cowboys jersey on the cover of Madden this year. Now, I have some thoughts on that, but Tone, I know, you had some really strong opinions on this. So what do you think about T.O. being on the cover and, more importantly, I guess, wearing a Cowboys jersey?
Get your popcorn ready.
Yeah, so definitely get your popcorn ready. And this hashtag Tone Hates T.O., this is going to have to start trending. So let me just say, first and foremost, I'm excited for Madden. I play Madden every year. Like JD, I've been playing Madden 20, 25 years, whatever it is now. Yeah, about 25 years. And so in the early 2000s, they started putting these, the football players on the cover. So every year it's a big unveil, you know, who's on the cover. It's a big thing. But, yeah, they had the old boy T.O. And he's wearing a Dallas Cowboy uniform. Now, let me say, T.O. was one of my all-time favorite players in the early 2000s. He was my favorite player. Always looked at him as the second greatest receiver of all time. I still do. I'm not taking him away from the man's greatness at all. He provided great moments for us, but him to wear a Dallas Cowboy uniform. Now, first of all, he played 8 years in San Francisco. Combine all the other teams he was with, his years and stats are still more in San Francisco than any other team combined. And you put him in a Dallas Cowboy uniform. A 49er, the second greatest receiver of all time, had the catch two moment, had the 20 reception game moment. Everything that he's done, the star moment, everything he did in a San Francisco 49er uniform. And you put him in a Dallas Cowboy uniform. I'm going to say this. I'm done. T.O. was on TMZ a while ago saying he ain't going in. And I know Pro Football Hall of Fame, you don't go in as a team. But one of the TMZ guys asked him, you know, what member would you like to be in? He said, not the 49ers, that's for sure. Okay, T.O., no problem. Thank you for the memories, you know, Young the Owens, classic Joe Starkey radio call. Very happy. One of the all-time moments I'll never forget, a special moment watching the game with my family and stuff. Those moments I'll never forget, but he'll never be a 49er in my eyes. Not no more. He's not a 49er. I do not want this man to represent the 49ers, which seems like he doesn't want to anyway. Fine by me. I do not want this man at Levi Stadium no more. Take your ass to the Cowboys Stadium because you're not a 49er. You want to represent the Dallas Cowboys, our arch rivals? And so forget all the moments that you had with us, the yards, the catches, the touchdowns, the records, the all-time NFL moments you had in the red and gold. You want to wear the blue and silver? Now, I'm sure Madden ask him for input. I'm not sure about if he inputted or not, but just by his actions, I'm sure he said no. Put me in the Cowboys. You could at least put him in a Philadelphia Eagles uniform. And he played in the Super Bowl with the Eagles. I would still be like, he should be in a Niner uniform, but at least I can somewhat understand that. Somewhat. Just somewhat. But he'll never be a 49er in my eyes. And this is coming from a guy who defended him for years back then when his beef with Steve Mariucci, his beef with Jeremy Newberry, his beef with Jeff Garcia, him being, I remember going to games at Candlestick, the 49ers would be in the huddle, and he would just walk out of the huddle just not caring because he knew the play call wasn't going to go to him. I still defended this man. Because he's such a great talent, and I think a lot of times he is misunderstood, and he wears his heart on his sleeve, but you're not a 49er, man. I'm done with you. Never will be a Niner in my eyes ever again. So that's just how I feel about T.O. Them putting in the Dallas Cowboy uniform really, you know, for marketing purposes, really doesn't make sense to me either. Because the 49ers won 5 Super Bowls before the Cowboys. The 49ers are just enough big brand as the Dallas Cowboys. Things change. This ain't the 70s no more. The Cowboys aren't America's team. Now, don't get me wrong. They got one of the biggest fan bases, but they're not America's team like in the 70s anymore. The times are different. With the internet, social media, fans are fans of teams from all over the country now. But as far as brands, though, the 49ers with Levi's Stadium, man, yeah, they're not bigger than the Cowboys brand, but it's right up there. The 49er brand is big, and Madden would have sold just as many covers or whatever games they had if he was in a Niner uniform. So to me, it was just a slap in the face as a Niner fan. I know he doesn't hate Niner fans, this and that, but as a Niner fan who loves and loves this organization, it's a slap in the face. Forget all the moments that he had. So, you know what, T.O.? Go enjoy being a Cowboy. You're not a 49er, and you never will be. That's just how I feel.
JP, you have any thoughts on T.O. in the Cowboy uniform before I flip this on its head?
Nope. You guys can go ahead. No, I'm just playing. No, I mean, I love T.O. I mean, I remember going to Candlestick and watching T.O. I mean, he was one of my favorite players, you know? I mean, growing up as a kid, you would idolize him. And yeah, of course, when he went to the Cowboys, you know, I wasn't happy. They were our arch rival and whatnot. And he did have that attitude, you know what I mean? He thought he was entitled to a lot of things. And just like Tone said, he did beef with a lot of our players, you know what I mean, and coaches, you know what I'm saying? So one side of me says, hey, I have a special place in my heart for T.O. and the Niners. To me, I think he'll, you know, he's part of my childhood. So I think he'll always be a Niner in my eyes. Yes, he went to the Cowboys. He did his thing there. T.O. is that type of person where I love to watch him play, but I hate to hear him talk. You know what I mean? And you just take the good with the bad. That's the way I look at it. So yes, he's on the cover of Madden in a Cowboy uniform. I think that's just another thing of Terrell Owens. That's another person, you know, that's his personality. He's talking, and you know, like Tone was saying, that whole TMZ stuff. Yeah, that got to me a little bit. You know, that kind of pissed me off. But then again, you know, you take the good with the bad. So I've learned to turn off T.O. Off the field. And I like to cherish those moments on the field, that 20 reception game, you know, the catch two, all that type of stuff. I like to cherish those moments and ignore the off field. Looks like a duck, talks like a duck, whatever that was with Jeff Garcia and whatnot. So I like to ignore that stuff. So, you know, it is what it is. I'm still probably going to buy Madden. I'm still probably going to play it. So, you know, I'll just Photoshop a copy of Terrell Owens in a Niner uniform and slip that in the sleeve, so every time I play it, I won't have to look at him in a Cowboy jersey. But that's my thoughts. I'm gonna let JD handle it. I got my popcorn ready with some extra butter, so y'all go ahead.
All right, Tone, I'm gonna come at you on this one, man.
Come on, come at me, man. And then I'm gonna counter you too, though. Don't get it twisted, JD.
you said you don't understand. You don't think it's that big of a deal in terms of marketing with T.O. on the cover in a Cowboy jersey. I'm gonna make a few points, but this is gonna be my first one. You say it's not that big of a deal in terms of marketing putting T.O. on the cover. I mean, not just Cowboy fans are going to buy the game. Obviously, we know that they're not catering just to Cowboy fans. They want to, you know, sell the game, sell a lot of them, and get people talking about it. You know, whether that's positively or negatively. Look what we're doing right now. We're arguing. We're getting into a heated little debate over a Madden cover. They know what they're doing. They're gonna make publicity out of this thing, and they know putting T.O. on that cover in a Cowboys jersey is going to get people talking one way or another. All publicity is good publicity. So putting T.O. on the cover not only, you know, they're catering to one of the biggest brands in the country, because let's face it, the Dallas Cowboys brand is right up there with the New York Yankees and the Los Angeles Lakers as the biggest brands in sports in this country. So you put T.O. on the cover in a Cowboy jersey, you're going to sell a lot of copies. And I think it was a genius marketing strategy by them. Of course, I'm a Niner fan. I would love to see T.O. on the cover in a Niner jersey. But I understand why they did it with T.O. in a Cowboy jersey on the Madden cover. And as a businessman, I think it was a smart move. Do I agree with T.O.'s stance on how he feels about the 49ers and being slighted by the team? And let's be real, T.O. probably had some input, like you said, with T.O., what jersey he's on the cover with, you know. But let me ask you this, Tone. We know that T.O. has beef with the Niners organization. We know that T.O. didn't leave here on the best of terms. We know that T.O. got traded to another franchise. So let me ask you this, though. Would you not have beef with your profession, with your line of work, if you were considered arguably the top employee at your company, and then they just unceremoniously fired you? Would you go around and rep that company? Would you go around and promote them and you know, back them up, even though they just kicked you to the curb?
I get what you're saying with that, but sports is still different in a sense that we still worked out a trade for him to go to Philadelphia. He wasn't even supposed to go to Philadelphia. Him and his agent forgot the deadline to file out the paperwork, and we were still ordered to trade him to where he wanted to go. And then also with T.O., I thought everything was better. I mean, wasn't he there at the last game at Candlestick? He actually came back. I thought everything was better now. I mean, this is a totally different organization besides the owners. And Jed York is the face now, so even that's a little bit different. I mean, this is the same people in the front office building is not even there. We don't even have the same coaches or anything. Get over it, T.O. You're the one that caused the problems. And also, again, with the whole Madden thing, I would agree with you, but the thing is the NFL, the Madden is going to sell regardless. You're going to have your people that buy it every single year. I don't think catering to the Dallas Cowboy fan base is you're going to sell more copies than you would put a Cleveland Brown guy on the cover. I mean, everybody's ready to play Madden every year, regardless. You're going to have your loyal followers like we all are. Now, to get us talking about it, we're a 49er podcast. If T.O.'s on the cover, we're going to talk about it regardless. It's just a simple fact that they put him in a Dallas Cowboy uniform. Just has, you know, me and I'm sure other 49er fans, you know, feel a certain way about it. But I don't think it was a marketing thing. You're going to sell copies regardless. I mean, this is Madden. You already selling copies because you have that EA Sports exclusive rights. So, I mean, the NFL exclusive rights for EA Sports. So you're going to sell it. It's not like I don't know about the stats, JD, but has Madden sales declined where they need to make sure they need to cater on to a certain fan base to sell more copies? Because the unveiled thing is always what type of player it is or who's going to be on the cover. And then now they got the Hall of Fame editions. It's big every year. So I don't think the whole marketing thing matters in this instance. But I tell you what, though, as much as I don't like T.O. anymore, as far as the foot, not as a man, just the football, just talking football, that's all. But I'm still going to get the Hall of Fame edition. I mean, you know, I'm a Madden guy. So, but I don't think that brand is going to get I don't buy that, brother.
All right. I mean, I get what you're saying. I just think that, you know, like I said, all publicity is good publicity. You know, whether or not they're marketing because they put him in a Cowboy jersey, whatever, we're talking about it. They did their job. We're talking about it. We're debating about it. And that's good for their business. That's the bottom line. And they did their job, and it was a smart move by them, because look at us right now. We're getting into it. But answer my question, Tone. What would you do? And this is unrelated to Madden. This is back on the TO point. What would you do if you were considered a top employee at your job and they fired you? They unceremoniously got rid of you. Would you rep them? Would you back them up? Or would you have a little bit of resentment like TO does?
It depends on the situation. I guess in T.O.'s sense, if I was T.O., I would have got over it by now. And that's just my honest opinion. I would have got over it by now. Like I said earlier, there's nobody in that building. It's the same people. There's not the same general manager, not the same CEOs, not the same. I mean, there's nobody in that building that is the same. They actually wanted to bring you back for the last year at Candlestick. I mean, me personally, I would have got over it. I mean, that's just my honest opinion. Now, was he happier in Dallas? Was he happier in Philly? I mean, that's on him. But your all-time moments that you have had is in a 49er uniform. So, yeah, the fan base loves you. They love you. You know, why not come back? Why not come back to San Francisco and represent? Why not? I don't see what the issue with that. I mean, it's not like the 49ers treated him bad. I mean, is Terrell Owens really a victim here? With everything that he did in those early 2000 teams, is he the victim? Because it seems like it seemed like Jeff Garcia, who was giving him the ball, he got thrown under the bus. Steve Mariucci, who was our last playoff coach until Harbaugh, he got thrown under the bus. I mean, is T.O. really the victim? Is it? I mean, I don't look at him as that. I look at him as somebody who sometimes is misunderstood, but sometimes he's a selfish player. And, you know, his fights with Jeremy Newberry in the locker room, Ron Stone in the locker room. I mean, these are all stories you hear and I remember reading. And we're supposed to just bow down to T.O., when he's tearing our locker room apart? No. This is a business. No. And T.O. chose his actions, and you got to live with it. But, you know, that's how I feel. And, you know, it's not like the Niners did him dirty. It's not like the Niners completely just cut ties with him or didn't pay him his contract or just, you know, or was like Al Davis did to Marcus Allen. You know, back in the day where he just sat him on the bench and didn't play him at all. You know what I mean? Well, the Niners didn't treat T.O. like that. So, yeah, me personally, I would get over it. And in my eyes, he'll never be a 49er in my eyes. Never. He's had great moments. I'll forever love and cherish those moments because those are great moments. But as far as me looking at him as an all-time 49er, I mean, you can't change that, you know, his moments are with us, but he will never be in my heart like Jerry Rice. He'll never be in my heart like Frank Gore. He'll never be in my heart like, you know, Merton Hanks and Ronnie Lott and you know, Steve Young and all the. He'll never be in that mode. And I'm kind of curious with all of this, JD, is the 49ers Hall of Fame at Levi's Stadium, since he is going into the Hall of Fame? Will the 49ers induct him in the 49er Hall of Fame? Will he get a statue at Levi's? I tell you what, if I'm Jed York, I wouldn't. I would not. And they call me bitter, but I would not. Nope. If that's how you want to be, go ahead and get your statue in Dallas. That's how I feel.
I got one more point, but JP, do you have anything you want to add?
Yeah, just to touch on what you were saying, JD. Yes, he was the best employee, or I mean, if you want to talk about it like that, he was the best employee on the team. But then again, you have to, you know, look at it from the upper management point of things. If your best employee is messing with every other employee in your business, and is you know, causing a disruption, then you have to do something to your best employee. You know, you have to tell them to calm down or whatnot. And I'm sure they've done that multiple times, and T.O. didn't really follow suit. He didn't take their instructions. So yes, that was your best employee, but they had to get rid of him. They had to do what they had to do. So that's, to answer your question on that, that's what I think. As far as tone, will there be a statue? I hope not. There won't be a statue. Well, I mean, you know, after all that's been going on with, you know, the front office and T.O. and the players, I don't think there will ever be a T.O. statue. I'm sure he's going to be recognized somehow in some way in the stadium, but a statue, no, that's saved for the Ronnie Lotts, the, like you were saying, the Jerry Rices, the Frank Gores of the Niners. You know what I mean? That's, those statues are reserved for them. T.O., he had a great career, was an amazing 49er. I don't think a statue is definitely worth his is worth being put up for him. So that's my little input on it. JD, what other things you want to touch on?
So just to tie it back into the Madden thing one more time, you know, it's not all about selling copies, of course. Putting T.O. on the Cowboy jersey on the cover, it's not all about selling copies. It's about creating controversy. It's about getting people to talk about it. And the more people you get to talk about it, the more copies you're ultimately going to sell. So they weren't catering to the Cowboy fans. I don't think it was necessarily about T.O. being in a Cowboy jersey. I think they did their job, because look what we're doing. We're debating about it. We got onto these rants about T.O. and his history with the Niners. We weren't even talking about the game. So I think that Madden and EA did their job and did the right thing for their brand. You know, I think it was a good move by them. As far as T.O. goes, his issue isn't with the Niner fans. T.O. loves Niner fans. He said it repeatedly. So as a Niner fan, I don't have an issue with T.O. He's never said anything bad about this fan base. So I have no problem with T.O. being, you know, a little bit bitter with the 49ers. And see, that's the thing. We're forgetting the fact, why is T.O. bitter? You can say that, you know, I disown T.O. and, you know, he's never going to be one of the all-time 49ers and whatnot. But you got to think about it like this. Why is he bitter? Why is he angry about the way things ended? It's because at the end of the day, he wanted to be a 49er. It's not like he does not love this franchise. He wanted to be a San Francisco 49er. So that's why he's bitter about this whole thing. But Tone, unless you have any final points, man, I think we're getting ready to move on here to fourth down.
Okay, so just real quick. Okay, the 49ers traded Joe Montana in favor of Steve Young. Joe Montana was bitter about it. Okay, he was bitter when he went to Kansas City. But guess what? He came right back. And he came back to the exact same organization that traded him. Eddie D was still there. Carmen Policy was still there. I mean, the front office was still there. He still came back. And he's a 49er. T.O., ain't nobody in that building is the same people that got rid of you. And your actions, until T.O. matures and grows up and realizes that, you know, a lot of your actions caused a lot of these issues, and actually realize that, I mean, there's a reason why the 49ers had to cut ties. And then even still, the T.O. dictated how we cut ties. See, people forget that too. I'll just say, hey, as far as the game, though, I'm excited for Madden. Of course, I'll get the Hall of Fame edition with T.O. in a Cowboy uniform. 49er Tone is not going to switch the covers or anything like that, okay? It's not that. And I love the moments that T.O. provided. But when I say all-time 49er, when I say that term, I don't want to get it misconstrued where I'm saying he's not a great 49er, because he's the second greatest receiver of all time. And he brought a lot of joy in at a young age for me when I was watching 49ers, you know, at a young age. But I'm talking about as far as being cherished. You know, in my heart, in my eyes, he'll never be cherished. So, but yeah, man, I'm excited for Madden. JD, it was good going back and forth with your brother on the T.O. thing. So, but yeah, you know, I can't wait for Madden, though.
I think that this it all ties into one thing, and it's the way you feel about something, you know, there's no right or wrong answer with this. You feel the way that you feel about it, and that's not right or wrong. I feel the way that I feel about it. That's not right or wrong. T.O. feels the way that he feels. That's not right or wrong. So we can go back and forth on this all day long. But end of the day, T.O.'s on the Madden cover. I'm hyped. Can't wait for it. I'll be buying it for sure. But with that, we're wrapping up third down, and we're going to move on to our fourth and final down of the episode. Here we go, guys. We have reached fourth down, where we interact with you, the faithful listener to the Forever Faithful podcast. And this week, we have a ton of questions from you guys out there to get to. By far, the most interaction we've had with our listeners to date here with the seventh episode of the Forever Faithful podcast being recorded right now. So let's get on into it. We got a lot of questions from a lot of people. So the first question comes from Carlo at SomeDude88 on Twitter, and he asked a couple of questions. The first question, and JP, I'll let you take this first. The first question he asks is, do you think the Niners should take a look at bringing in Michael Kendricks, the former Philadelphia Eagles linebacker that recently got cut? He says that Kendricks is a solid athlete and linebacker and a local California boy. He will also bring more Super Bowl experience to the locker room. JP, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, definitely, man. Good question. Thanks, Carlo. Shout out. But no, I think we should take a look at him. You know, he would bring a, like, just like Carlo said, some Super Bowl experience. He could play a lot. He could add to our linebacking core. You know, throw him where Eli Harold is, that Sam position linebacker. You know, and also to bring up, Eli Harold was a Balky pick, so you never know what this regime wants to do. You know, keep him, leave him, whatnot. But yeah, I think he'll be great. I mean, you know, we can bring him off the edge. We need pass rushers. He can line up on the line as well on third down. So I think it's something to definitely take a look at. We have spent, you know, some money this year. I think the DN spot, or just the pass rushing, you know, edge defender spot, was really, I don't think was really paid much attention to this year by the front office. You know, we didn't really draft too many people until later in the draft, and didn't really give it too much attention in free agency. So I think this could be, you know, a good look. I wouldn't mind it. You know, yes, he does have some Super Bowl experience. Just like Carlos said, he's a California boy, played at Cal Berkeley. So I wouldn't mind it. I wouldn't mind taking a look at it, get another pass rusher and get some depth, if that, you know what I mean? That would be great. So what are your thoughts, Tone?
Yeah, I'm with it, man. Thanks for the question, brother. I'm actually all for it. You know, another presence in that locker room, the experience, and more bodies, more depth. So any way that we can look to get better, I'm all for. And yeah, man, that Super Bowl experience, you know, with the type of player he is, I think that would be I would be very happy if, you know, if Lynch and Shanahan took a look at him, because, you know, anytime you got Super Bowl experience, I mean, you can't buy that. Like, that's very crucial. So, you know, teach these young guys how to get the job done. So, yeah, man, great question. I'm all for it, man.
Now, as far as my opinion goes on this, I think I'm looking at this a little bit differently. Our linebackers, as they currently stand, you're looking at Reuben Foster, Malcolm Smith, and potentially Fred Warner as your starting linebackers. The thing is, Reuben Foster, you know, even though he's free and clear now, he had the issue staying on the field last year in terms of his health. So we can't necessarily trust Reuben to stay healthy for a full 16 games. So you have to look at depth. You have to look at, you know, being ready just in case Reuben goes down. And, you know, the potential with those linebackers of Warner, Foster, and Malcolm Smith, I like the combination. I think it's a really athletic, really rangy, good linebacking core. But, you know, you got to remember, Fred Warner is a rookie. So how effective is he going to be in his rookie season? And not only that, if Reuben goes down, then what are you going to do? So I think bringing in Michael Kendricks to start opposite Reuben Foster and Malcolm Smith would be the move. I think it's a good move. Of course, he brings that experience. The Niners were really interested in trading for Kendricks last offseason. It didn't happen, but they were definitely looking at it. Kendricks is more of a he's really rangy. He can come up and tackle, read the run really well, rush the passer a little bit. He's not that great in coverage, but he's a talent. And I just think the way that our linebackers are currently constructed, I think bringing in Michael Kendricks would do nothing but help this team. So I'm pulling for it. We'll see if it happens, but I would make the move if I was John Lynch. Now, Carlo asked the second question. I'll take the first answer here. Carlo says, would you rather fight one Joe Staley-sized Jimmy Garoppolo or five Jimmy Garoppolo-sized Joe Staley's? Kind of a funny question, but I think it's a there's only one answer. I think you would rather want to fight one Joe Staley-sized Jimmy Garoppolo because Jimmy Garoppolo, he's a pretty boy. He's not trying to get his face dirty. He's not trying to be aggressive. You know what I mean? So I would much rather want to fight one Joe Staley-sized big ass Jimmy Garoppolo than fighting five Jimmy Garoppolo-sized Joe Staley's, because Joe Staley's an animal. If you have five 6'2", 6'3", Joe Staley's coming at you, I think you're in trouble. Tone, what do you think about this question?
Well, it looks like we're just going to disagree this whole episode, brother. Then the simple fact for that is I'd rather go with, was it the five Jimmy Garoppolo-sized Joe Staley's? As much as he's a beast, and I'll take that, because for the simple fact that Jimmy Garoppolo, he just wins, man. That's all he does is win. And if you're going to fight him, you know he's going to win. So that's where I would go with.
Yeah, I agree with you there, Tone, man. I think, Jimmy Garoppolo, he's more of a technical, he knows what's going on. He's going to get it done. Big-ass Joe Staley, he's going to run at you, and he's going to try to get you. So I think it's a little bit easier to get away from him. If you get a little technical with it, but I'm going to go with I'd much rather fight five Jimmy Garoppolo-sized Joe Staley's. That's my thought. I think I can take him on. What do you guys it's a funny question. Hey, JD, what's you got a couple more?
Yeah, Carlo, thank you for the questions, man. I really appreciate the in-depth thought that you put into that second question. That's a really, that's a question that Niner fans everywhere wanted to know, so I appreciate you asking it. The second question comes from Joe Shasky, also known as The Butcher Boy, at ButcherBoy415 on Twitter, of the radio station 95.7 The Game down there in the Bay Area. He asks, in another, comedic question, is a hot dog a sandwich? JP, go.
I will fight anybody who says that a hot dog is a sandwich. See me outside, I'll punch you straight in the face if you say a hot dog is a sandwich. And next question.
I'm not as passionate about that as JP, but I will say this though. No, it is not a sandwich. Don't you ever disrespect sandwiches like that, okay? But yeah, next question.
We're in agreement. A hot dog, the definition of a sandwich is, an item, meat or peanut butter and jelly, whatever, between two pieces of bread. A hot dog bun is one piece of bread. So that's not a sandwich. A hot dog is a hot dog. End of discussion. Catch me outside.
Exactly. Now, shout out to Butcher Boy, man. Thanks for the question.
Thanks for the question, Butcher Boy. Next question here, and we're getting back to the football talk, comes from Johnny Gomes, at Johnny Gomes 6 on Twitter. And he asked two questions. His first question is, how many games, if any, will Reuben Foster be suspended? JP?
Yeah, man. I think with all this stuff that's went down and a lot of stuff that's been cleared, who knows with Roger Goodell in the NFL. I still think a 3-game suspension is going to come down on him. I know it's stupid. I know it's kind of ridiculous. I think that marijuana charge is something that NFL is real strict about, which is really, really stupid. But I think a 3-game suspension is going to come down on Ruben. I think he's going to protest it, and I think it's going to maybe go down to like a one-game suspension after he appeals it. So me personally, I think it's going to be a 1-game suspension. Fingers crossed. Hopefully no games, but yeah, 1-game suspension. That's my guess.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly what Roger Goodell is going to do. I mean, he's so erratic with these decisions. He's so no consistency at all. So I don't know, man. I would think, well, what is the minimum for the drug suspension? What's the minimum for that?
You're talking about the weed suspension?
Yeah.
I believe the first suspension, I think, is 4 games, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, so Goodell would probably give him 4 games, maybe even longer because of the gun as well. And then maybe Ruben Foster will appeal and maybe get down to 2, maybe 3, like JP was saying. But hey, I don't know. That's the thing. It's all up in the air. I would hope for no games. I mean, he's an innocent man. But, you know, Roger Goodell is going to do what Roger Goodell does. So I have no idea with that one, though. I mean, it's really up in the air with him.
Yeah, I think we're looking at somewhere between 2 to 4 games. I think ultimately 2 to 4 games is a good way to look at it. I've said all along I think the magic number was 4, but that was before all these charges got dropped and whatnot. The weed charge got dropped. All the domestic violence and charges got dropped. So I think end of the day, put a gun to my head, you know, no pun intended with Ruben, I think we're looking at a 2-game suspension. So next question, also coming from Johnny Gomes. Johnny asks, why wasn't Jimmy Garoppolo at the 49ers State of the Franchise event? Now that's an interesting one because he was promoted to be there. I'm sure a lot of fans that were going to that wanted to see Jimmy. I'll tell you right now, if I would have took the time to drive down from Sacramento down to San Jose and sit in that traffic and spend the gas money and getting down there and then, you know, wanting to see Jimmy, and then Jimmy didn't show up, I would have been pissed off. That's just me. But Jimmy Garoppolo was not at the 49ers State of the Franchise event because of a conflicting schedule that day. He actually had an autograph signing that he attended with TriStar, which is one of the biggest athlete autograph companies in the country. And he had a big autograph event that day. And obviously, you know, he's going to make a lot of money from that. So he was at that event as opposed to the State of the Franchise, which that kind of sucked. But, you know, it is what it is. No big deal. You know, we'll see Jimmy plenty this season. Next question. We have a two-part question here from Don V at DonV757 on Twitter. And the first question he asks is, in 3 years, who will be the NFC West's best quarterback between Jared Goff, Russell Wilson, Jimmy Garoppolo, or Josh Rosen? Tone, why don't you take this one first?
Man, well, I would say, of course, Garoppolo. But, you know, not to be biased, though. Well, I try not to be, but yeah, I would have to say Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, Goff had an incredible year last year, you know, bouncing back the way he did from his rookie year. But I never been the biggest Goff fan. And Russell Wilson is absolutely amazing. I mean, he is absolutely. But I would go with Jimmy Garoppolo. He has, I think he still has the best play caller in the league. And just wait till this offense gets off the ground. It's going to show.
JP, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, man. Don V, thanks for the question. It was a great question, actually. Yeah, man. I think it's up there. We have a lot of good quarterbacks in this division. I know Jimmy Garoppolo, obviously. I think will be up there, and Jared Goff. I think those will be the top two. Jared Goff, if you look around him, he has a great offense. Just starting in the backfield, you know, one of the best running backs in the league right now. And Jimmy Garoppolo, he has one of the best play callers in the league right now. I think Jimmy has a little bit more I don't know if you want to say experience, but I think he has more knowledge sitting behind, you know, Tom Brady and in New England. Jared Goff, definitely, he has, you know, he has a great offense, and he has, you know, a pretty good signal caller too. So I think that's 1A and 1B with Jimmy Garoppolo and Jared Goff. I have Russell Wilson right under them. You know, he's getting up there. He's 29 years old, so he's getting up there, and, you know, that offensive line isn't giving him any favors. And then Josh Rosen, you know, he's young. We don't know what's going on. You have a glass bottle that's sitting in front of him at quarterback in Sam Bradford, so who knows what's going on. He could be thrown to the wolves straight away in week one or week two. So although I thought he was the best quarterback in this class. So that's how I have it. I have Jimmy and Jared Goff up at up there, followed by Wilson and Rosen. That's my those are my picks. JD, what are your thoughts?
You know, my gut reaction was going to be Russell Wilson, just because of the body of work that he's put in, and you can't discredit that. And you know, he's going to be an effective quarterback moving forward, of course. But you know, the talent around him is kind of diminishing a little bit. They have Doug Baldwin at receiver, but that's pretty much it as far as their wide receivers go. They lost Jimmy Graham at tight end. You know, of course, you know, in 3 years, we're talking in 3 years here. You know, Jared Goff's really young. Josh Rosen's very young. Jimmy Garoppolo in 3 years is going to be, I believe, 29, 30 years old. So he's still right there in his prime. You know, I would have to say Jimmy, and I'm trying to be as unbiased as possible. I think it's Jimmy. Russell's going to be a little bit older, and the guy that plays like he does, you know, they're susceptible to injuries, and they don't like to protect him with an O-line. So I don't think Russell will be the same player in 3 years. Jared Goff is having his audibles called by his head coach at the line, so his head coach is babying him, and that's going to stunt the development of Jared Goff. Josh Rosen has a lot of talent, but Larry Fitzgerald's going to retire after this year, so who's he going to be throwing to in 3 years? We don't know. But I think Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, he has the skill set, he has the talent around him, he has the young, you know, bright coach. I think Jimmy Garoppolo is in the best situation to succeed in 3 years from now. So, Don V, thank you for that first question. He also has a second question that he threw out to us, and he says, will the NFC West be the best division as far as quarterback play? I'm assuming he means 3 years from now. I'm not sure if he means this year, because with, you know, Rosen being a rookie, I don't think you can really bank on this division being the best division with quarterback play. I'm going to answer this as far as, like, you know, going forward. I definitely think so, because the only other divisions that I think you can really look at that would rival the NFC West in terms of up-and-coming quarterbacks or you know, quarterback play, you're going to have to look at, like, the NFC North with Aaron Rodgers, Matthew Stafford, Kirk Cousins, and I know I'm missing one, Mitch Trubisky. So, you know, but Aaron, you know, a few years from now, Aaron Rodgers is going to be older. Matt Stafford is going to be older. So you're going to be looking at Kirk Cousins and Trubisky as kind of, you know, the probably the two best quarterbacks in that division after 3-4 years, what have you. Now, you know, of course, Aaron Rodgers is going to be good, but you got to take age in consideration. And then, you know, you look at the NFC South. 3 years from now, Drew Brees is going to be retired. Cam Newton, you know, he's taking a beating every year of his career. So who knows, you know, how he'll be holding up physically in 3 years. I'm sure he'll be around, but you have to look at that. Matt Ryan will be there. Matt Ryan's a good quarterback. And then Jameis Winston, who I really like. You know, Drew Brees is not going to be around in the NFC South in 3 years. And that dramatically decreases the level of quarterback play in that division. So I think the NFC West could ultimately, yeah, I think the NFC West could be the premier division in terms of quarterback play, just based on youth and, you know, the offenses around them and the head coaches here in this division. Tone, what do you think about that?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Especially 3 years from now, I definitely agree with you. Not only the quarterback play, but I think the NFC West has a chance to be the best division just by teams, period. Just a competition between the, you know, basically all four teams, but really three. you know, but Arizona's still got a tough defense. But, you know, I agree, man. I think I haven't been the biggest fan of Goff, but he's proven me wrong. And you got Jimmy G. And Russell Wilson, he's just such a clutch player. He's a guy who he can scramble, he can throw, he can do it all. So I got a lot of respect for Russell Wilson, man. I don't know how many times the 49ers playing him and he's made me, want to throw something just being frustrated playing him. So, and then we'll see what Rose, I don't know how well he's going to do. But you know, I as far as the other three, I think it has a good chance to do that, to be the best, if to be one of the best at least.
I agree with you, Tone. I think the NFC West is definitely up there. I think the only other division that could compete with us would be the AFC South. The Houston Texans, they have Deshaun Watson, who was a beast last year before he got injured. He's going to be coming back this year. I'm sure he's going to, excel for the next 3 years. You have the Colts with Andrew Luck. That's kind of up in the air. We don't know with his shoulder and whatnot, but if Andrew Luck in the next, couple of years, if he can come back and play like he did a few years ago, which when the Colts went to the AFC Championship game, if he could play like that, I think he'll be a great quarterback. You got the Titans with Mariota, who I think he showed last year how good he was, especially in the playoffs. He really stepped it up. And then Jacksonville, Blake Bortles, I think he's the running joke of the NFL, but I guess he could be the Josh Rosen of the AFC of the NFC West. But I think that's another division who has some really young, promising quarterbacks. But yeah, I think we, as of right now, we know what we're getting from, Garoppolo, and the rest of the people, Wilson, like Tone said, I've broken many of remotes throwing it at the TV, the way he's gotten out of sacks and whatnot. So yeah, I think those two divisions you might want to look out for the next couple years. I think those are going to be the up and coming quarterbacks in the league.
JP, that was a good call at the AFC South. I didn't think about that one, but I think that all, like you said, it hinges on Andrew Luck's health and what kind of quarterback he is going forward. But then, obviously, I think Blake Bortles just kind of puts it over the top. I think that, when we're talking, best quarterback divisions, if you have Blake Bortles, I think you're just, you're the leader in the clubhouse. You know what I mean? Of course, I'm kidding, guys. If you take that seriously, then you should stop listening to this podcast. But
although Blake Bortles has never lost a Super Bowl, that's a
fun. Yeah, Bortles facts. He's never lost a Super Bowl. But Dom V, thank you for the questions. Everybody else that contributed, thank you for interacting with us this week. And we encourage everybody that listens to this podcast to interact with us on Twitter, Facebook, what have you. Your question will be featured on our fourth down segment. And this was by far our most successful fourth down segment that we've had, on this podcast since we started. So if we can just keep this, growing and get more people, involved, and that's what we're doing it for. So and going forward, we're going to try and implement other ways to get you guys involved. We would like to take phone calls, what have you. So as we learn some more things and get further along here, I think we're going to definitely involve the listeners a lot more. So please just stay tuned. Please be involved and share and like and subscribe and the whole deal. So with that, unless you guys have anything else to add, I think we can wrap this baby up.
Yeah, man. Great episode as always. Our seventh episode of the Forever Faithful podcast. You can call it you should probably call it the Nate Davis podcast right here, number seven. I'm just kidding. But, go ahead and follow us, on Twitter, Facebook. Like JD said, we got a lot of plans coming, man. Big things for this podcast. So just stay tuned. Hit us up on our personal Twitters. Whatever. Just interact with us, man. And we got some big things coming. So just stay tuned and, thank you for listening. Thank you for everybody who sent in their questions, man. It's greatly appreciated.
I agree, man. Great podcast. Thanks again for everyone for all the questions. You know, this is the most questions we had. So hopefully we can keep this up week by week. And I love answering all the questions. It was great. Great interaction with everybody. And yeah, JD, take us out, man.
So you call this the Nate Davis podcast because it's episode 7. Bro, you should take a knee on that one because this would be the Colin Kaepernick podcast, number 7.
No doubt, but I figured that would have been a little too easy, so I had to bring it back just a little bit.
I mean, we can go Ken Dorsey if you want, but all right, guys. Thank you for tuning in this week. Next week's episode will also be one you want to tune into because I will be on hand for Eric Armstead's yearly football camp out here in Sacramento, California. He will be out there along with a few other 49er star players. So I'm going to be out there talking to the guys, and we got some big plans for that. So you're going to definitely want to tune in to next week's episode. We should have some sound from that, and it'll be a big one. And, of course, any other Niners news that breaks going forward, you know we're going to get into it. And with the way this team is and the way this offseason has been, I'm sure there's going to be a ton to talk about next week and every week leading up to this 2018 NFL season. So with that, I'm JD, joined as always by JP and 49er Tone here on the Forever Faithful podcast. And as always, it's one team, one family, and one goal.